You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
Bro, thank God I did not bring the scooter. It is looking tropical out there, folks.
Rain's looks like it's about to rain. You hear the police sirens. Mm. Is this authentic New York?
How you know it's about to rain, bro.
it's our rain siren.
Yeah. Police will shoot at the rain.
Okay. Hey, they were asking. The rain was asking for it.
No, he had a gun. The rain had a gun, bro. What's up, everybody? Shouts to everyone in the chat so far. Did we tweet this out? Did we say we're here?
Did I hit record on the thing?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did now. What's good? Hello, everybody. People are coming. We did not tweet it out.
I just did.
Yeah, I was handling some other stuff.
Right.
All right, cool.
All right, well, we let people know. Looking like Cuba weather, bro. It comes in fast. I was just in Orlando. The weird thing about, I don't know why, maybe it's just the tall buildings here, but it feels like you could see the weather coming for miles in Orlando.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of open space. Honestly, you're wasting it all, bro. Get some buildings, bro.
Well, they have hurricanes out in Florida, so you can't really...
Do you get them in Orlando? You don't get hurricanes in Orlando.
Of course. You get in Orlando, in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia.
The Uber from the airport to where I was staying, this woman had a massive Batman tattoo on, like, not her hand, but like where a wristwatch would be, like the face of a wristwatch.
Right, right, right.
So I'm not sure where that's. I guess it's the wrist, but it's like massive. And it's all I see is she's driving, right? Is this. And I'm like, is this person going to turn around and tell me, you know, that I should have been more active on January 6th? You know what I mean? Or are you just a Batman fan? It was just an odd placement. Then she told me she used to be a police officer. And I'm like, this is all starting to make sense. But she did tell me that Orlando, Florida is the number one tourist destination in the world.
That's it. Oh, okay.
What?
Disney's a big deal.
That's it. You've hit the end of the list.
You know how many
By the way, there's great food. There's great times in Orlando. Shouts to Freddie Alarcón, who hung out with us. It was great. But come on.
Bro, a lot of people go to Orlando.
The
to
question,
Disney.
I'm not asking.
Universal.
I'm not asking if that is that true. The question I'm asking is, what y'all doing here? That's where I'm getting at.
I think you think people in the world are more cultured than they actually are. They're really not.
Bro, you're going to get on a plane from the UK, because a lot of people from the UK go to Orlando.
Right.
You get on a plane for 9 hours for Disney?
Bro, they don't have Disney.
They got Disney Paris.
That's a
2-hour train ride, fam.
It can't be as good as the one in Orlando.
What's the difference?
There's no rules or regulations in Florida.
What's it? Le Mickey Mouse?
Oh, my goodness.
I know exactly what's going on with Chelsea and Everton. They just suck. Sorry. Shouts to Michael Raymond. We'll get to it in a second.
Getting straight to the point.
What's good, everybody? Shouts to everybody coming in. JK Tritt says, boop, I'm in.
Okay.
Boop is devastating, bro.
To include that terrible sound as part of the show. But what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Shout out to everybody on the Meadowlark family.
Hey, who I met, Mike Ruiz.
That's right. You got
taller than I expected. Way more muscular than I expected as well. I'm like, I really shouldn't have been as rude to you as I was when we first talked.
They didn't know you were a tight end for the Miami Hurricanes. Shout out to Mike Ryan Ruiz, because one of the things I'm very impressed with, especially from him and a lot of people on Levitard show, is how much they care about so many different sports.
I can't get into it.
And that's their job.
I mean,
more power to them.
They also have to fill, what, like 4 hours a day? I mean, I'd probably be watching everything. I'd be like, yo, Steve sucks at badminton this year, bro. I thought I was rooting for him. I thought he was going to make the high school team. Yo, you know too much, man.
And that's their gig, and more power to them. We focus on on soccer, football exclusively. And then, you know, my sports diet is also includes, you know, a little bit of basketball. I'll catch maybe one quarter of an NFL game a year.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
I'm at the Super Bowl for the chips.
But
who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl this year? I'm hoping a lot more Doritos.
But not only does he know about a lot of sports, but he also cares about it. He's a Cleveland Browns fan.
That's a lot.
Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
A Florida Panthers.
How did the Cleveland Browns?
There's a whole backstory with every character on Levitard Show has their own.
How many
arc
stadiums
story
are you trying to go to a year? I ain't got this time.
So incredible. Justin Freeberg said Christian sports diet needs to include more pizza. I don't know about that.
It's about damn time we start talking about the important things on this show. You know, right now on the Levitard Show, they're going like these Cooligans. They're involved in too much pizza. You know what I mean? They're having the same conversation. Cleveland style. What kind of pizza is that? Which, by the way, is trash.
Delboy Zero says Florida is American Benidorm for British working class.
Have you been to Benidorm?
What is Benidorm?
I've been to Benidorm.
My buddy
got married in Alicante in Spain, which is on the Gold Coast in the south. And they said, oh, there's a bunch of great restaurants in Benidorm. These are people from San Antonio, Texas, by the way.
Okay.
Can't trust them. I was like, guys, we're in Spain. You flew from Texas to Spain, to Madrid, and then you took a train or drove 5 hours to the coast. And all they've done is sit in a pool and eat burgers and french fries from the pool grill, which is a George Foreman grill.
Right.
In a little shack. I'm like, guys, you came all the way to Spain to eat this? And they're like, what? This is great. I'm like, you could have done this in Texas. Let's go. Let's go eat something. And they go, all right, well, we heard there's great restaurants in Benidorm. And I should have taken the previous information and used that as to judge their good restaurant.
Got it.
Judgment of a good restaurant. And I did not. And I follow them. And we get to Benidorm and I am handed a laminated menu. Always a mistake. A laminated menu with the British flag on top. And guess what's on this menu?
Mm.
Burgers and chips, as they call it, which is French fries.
When you see the British flag on the menu.
On the menu, that's a mistake.
You know you're not.
You done fucked up.
Oh, no.
When the Union Jack is staring at you in the face. On a laminated menu that has two donkeys cheering a glass of beer.
Yes, you've made a mistake. Justin Friedberg. You know what?
By the way, Luke Sturgio. What happened?
I just realized I forgot to plug in the Ethernet again, but I think we're fine. Let me just plug it in.
Oh, man, this guy. By the way, Luke Sturgio says, Alexis is the guy who gets invited to Super Bowl parties and asks what food they're serving and won't go if they don't have at least two flavors of Doritos. You are 98% right. Because if I like the rest of the food, I'll bring my own Doritos. I'll bring chips. Last time I brought Voodoo chips.
All right, right.
Zapp's Voodoo Chips.
Those are delicious. Where,
incredible.
Is that from Louisiana? Where is
it? Is. It's a New Orleans brand.
Yeah.
Their story is that all the seasonings fell because of an accident in the factory. And I've learned from cereal commercials growing up, that's not true. Right? You can't put like a health scare as why you came up with this great flavor. You know what it is? You know what voodoo actually is?
I don't know. I mean, I know of the practice, the religious practice.
No, not that. The voodoo chips. You've had voodoo chips before.
I have. Yes.
Yeah. I
remember you got a giant box. We both got giant boxes of voodoo chips.
Would you let your dog jump all over and ruin the chips? I, out of respect, ate them.
Everybody knows chips make a good doggy bed.
Yeah. He brings me the box. It's all scratched up and stuff. Same thing that happened to my face. You let your dog eat my face.
What the hell are you talking about?
What was that cardboard cutout? The Heineken?
You say it like...
Yours was pristine.
Like
I protected this man's face.
My vicious golden doodle.
Yeah. Bro. Oh, yeah. The dog liked to scratch your cardboard cutout. Protect the cardboard cutout, dog. Okay, but the dog. I don't care. Get him toys so it doesn't scratch Alexis. Anyway, voodoo chips are just all dressed. Canadian chips. Did you know that?
All dressed?
All dressed. great. Two great Canadian chip flavors we don't have here, all dressed in ketchup chips.
Mm.
Chefs, by the way, ketchup Doritos? Absolute flames.
Okay.
Ketchup chips?
Boo.
You go to Benidorm, what you know, bro? Ketchup chips are fire. My favorite moment was when I got all dressed. I gave them to wifey, and I filmed her. I said, what do you think? She took a bite, and she goes, oh, this tastes like ass. And then she went in for more chips, and I was like, hell yeah.
Okay.
That's wifey right there, baby.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Now that we got all the food out of the way, shout out to OSNYC.
We got all the food and all the mechanical issues, as Dave Myers said.
Shout out to OSNYC hosting us again here, the dopest gaming space here in New York City. You can see it behind this. You see this giant screen that we've overtaken with the Cooligans logo. They actually, host tournaments, or sometimes people stream or they play games and they, you know, they make a big, huge event out of it. This is where you watch them. This giant screen right behind us. So, come out to OSNYC, hanging out.
They make a big event out of it.
They do. That's as they should.
You don't ever work for a political campaign. You know, they make a big event out of it. They have a good time. People come out here, they leave smiling.
Look, the staff, the owners.
Greatest, we gave them the greatest slogan of all time, and I'm shocked they haven't used it.
Which is what?
OSNYC. Get in here and fuck around a little bit.
I don't know why they haven't put that on the front door. Shouts to OSNYC. Come here on a date, whether it's to get some drinks or whatever.
I will continue to say this is one of the greatest first date spots in all of New York City. Did you swipe right on a dude you're not sure if you like him or not? Come here. Right.
This is where you test them.
Right. See if they're any good at Smash Brothers. What's your COD game like, bro?
You got that big COD energy.
Hey, let me see that COD, my G.
Okay. You know
what we got to talk about?
Clearly, we haven't been on first dates in a very long time.
I got no idea what you do. You play mini golf, and then you go to college with her, and then marry her, bro. Do that. That's my advice. Yo, Deez and Samiro broke up.
Yeah.
They started after us.
They did. Did they start after us? Or at least their show started after us. Their podcast may have started before us, but
here's
I don't know.
I didn't know. Did you know that they were put together by Complex? They weren't actual friends?
I could see that they're like
Menudo, bro.
No. They knew each other from high school.
That story I don't believe.
They both have said that was true. They knew each other from high school, but they weren't friends in high school.
No. The story is they didn't go to the same high school, but for summer school, they would send you to a different school.
Right.
Because Miro's school didn't have air conditioning. So they sent him to Deez's school. And so that's how we know each other from summer school. And Deez was a smart one. Why is a smart dude in summer school?
Okay. I went to summer school for one class once in high school.
For what?
I failed one class.
You were my criado, bro?
No, I wasn't a bad kid.
You failed the class. That's in Latin household? That's a my criado.
I failed
right
one
there.
Class in high school.
What did you fail? I've never failed the class, by the way.
Humanities. I didn't cheat. Unlike you.
Oh, yeah. So you you weren't a smart student is what I'm hearing. What the hell is humanities?
Humanities is basically English and history sort of combined. And it was my high school was like not like a traditional school.
Bro, that's trash, bro.
It wasn't.
History together? What the hell's that? Like you read a Shakespeare book and then they teach you about the history and time? Why those references?
Not exactly. It's more like
What do you know? You failed the class. Why am I asking him?
All right. I guess we can move on.
Yeah. I'm asking old F student over
none
here.
None of my input that is directly about my own life is really valid.
You failed it. I'm not out here telling you about trigonometry, my G.
I'm not telling you. I'm telling you about the course. The reason I failed the class was because the teachers were very strict, and they had a rule that if you were late to class, you couldn't hand in your homework. That was the rule, and it was really, really, and it was that was the toughest part.
Wait a minute. If you were late to class, you couldn't hand in your homework.
Correct.
So then, why go to class?
Well, if you didn't show up to class and you didn't have a proper excuse,
then you really couldn't hand in your homework.
you definitively are failing the class. So there were probably about three or four classes I got too late and I missed. I did the homework and I couldn't hand it in.
This is the most Christian way of failing a class. You did the work but couldn't hand it in.
Bro, there was only one time I lied and I was able to hand in the homework. And I said, I turned my wristwatch back. And I'm like, I'm on time. I'm looking at my watch. And they were like, oh, okay. And that was the only time.
They believed you?
They believed me.
Bro.
Lynn and Floyd. I got called. Lynn and Floyd. Those are my teachers. We called them by their first names.
I called them by their first name. If I did that, I get slapped up in my school. I got caught with a lot of weed in my backpack, and I lied my way out of that. And you turned your clock. And you still failed the class.
But you know what? I've always said this. Even though failing that class, that was I learned the most from that class. And it was so beneficial to me. And I'm not happy I failed it, but it was actually a good thing that I failed. It taught me a lot about responsibility.
What Hallmark movie are you making?
I'm just saying, bro.
What did you learn from failing?
I learned about discipline and being on time to things and things like that. And it was also a great class.
It is cute, though. I mean, good for you, bro.
Okay, okay. You can make something out of yourself after being a delinquent like me.
Yeah, this kid was late in class. Was your family upset?
No, they were fine with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I was not a shitty student.
No, yeah.
So this, it was just like,
this,
oh.
This wasn't like a, now it's all downhill.
Right. Where'd the heroin come from? why did this start?
You Who are those one? Naked women bagging cocaine in your room?
You really turned the tide.
You were late twice.
Okay.
Christian gonna be gray by the end of this season. Oh, they're still talking about the Everton thing. We're getting there. Christian went up to a teacher and said, boop. That was the teacher's first name, bro.
So, but yeah. So, what? Look, shout out to
these. By the way, I never had summer school.
Okay.
I never failed the class.
You've also never accomplished anything in your life. So, what?
What are you talking about? Stop agreeing with him. Behind the camera.
Anyway, so look, shout out to Dia Cimero.
Because I became a manager at the age of 24, right. A regional vice president at the age of 24.
How long did that last, huh? Alexis? How long did that last?
A year and a half. I made money for a year and a half, bro.
Anyway.
And then the economy was like, whoop.
Okay. So, look, again, shout out to Dia Cimero because they are, I think, you know, at this point, New York staples. And it sucks to hear that. I'm hearing all these stories about why they broke up and they had some, like, manager.
No, that's the plan.
I don't know.
The plan.
Who knows?
Did you know Dia is getting his own show on Complex?
Look, they're both going to be fine, but yeah.
Are they? But you know what, though? That they are an era that I think a lot of people sort of...
Grew up with.
Not just grew up with, but I think a lot of people sort of... They helped form, a lot of how people viewed the New York culture. They added, a lot of... like fun and levity to the whole idea of like what it means to grow up in a place like the Bronx. So right. Shouts to people like that who, you know, take the culture that we're all familiar with and like expand that and teach that to other people. You know, they're very similar to like Filthy Fellas and you know, comments below, you know, like all these things sort of kind of give people in a, you know, I don't want to use the term marginalized, but a community that doesn't often get its voice out unless it's like through music or some other means gets that out. So shouts to Dizzy Zemiro, bro.
All right. Okay.
Justin Freeberg said I was a regional manager of Whooperations.
This is, I'm hoping this stream has not dropped because.
What?
I'm trying to use it because it's dropping frames. So I'm trying to see if it.
But there's nothing happening now. It's spinning.
Yeah. All right. I might have to come back on.
Ugh.
It's all right. It's all right. It happens. It happens.
You're the IT guy.
I forgot to plug in the damn. It should switch from the Wi-Fi to. Okay. No, we're good.
Are we?
We're good. Okay. I was worried. We're good.
We're good. Sorry about that, everyone.
My bad.
Christian had a boop.
That was on me. That's on me. Well, what should happen is that if you're on Wi-Fi and Ethernet, it should, it's like a fail-safe. It should go right over to the other one, but it did not.
No, it did not. That happens to me sometimes on my computer.
Bezos and Bureau.
Shouts to Jamal, who, by the way, Jamal shot me a message on Instagram. He's like, you're in Orlando? And I said, yeah. He goes, percentage of Arsenal and Chelsea fans. He wants to know who's the most popular.
Okay, let's.
I can tell you who was the happiest after the match, bro. We dusted him.
Yeah,
bro.
We should start there. Let's. Alexis did go. I didn't go this time around. Alexis went to Orlando.
So many people were asking about you.
That's how it should be.
One of which was Gilberto Silva.
That's right, Gilberto, the homie.
We interviewed Gilberto Silva, what, about a year ago now?
Twice. We've interviewed him twice.
I only remember the one, but it was short.
We did one for our show, and then we did one for the preview show for the previous home of ours.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as I walked up, I'm like, he's not going to remember me. And I'm talking to someone I know.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to remember me. And I turn around and I go, hey, Gilberto. And he goes, Cooligans. And I was like, I turned to my buddy and I go, he remembered me. My voice got so high, I completely fanboyed. And he goes, yeah. And he got a big smile. And then people were starting to bother him for pictures.
Uh-huh.
So he kind of hid behind me. Like he used me to stop the other people so that he could...
He wouldn't have been able to use me to hide behind anybody.
No, they would have been like, what's that coat rack standing in front of Gilberto Silva? What's that Dominican coat rack? So he goes...
It's like a rapper name.
He starts now talking to me as a way to be like, everyone leave me alone. Right, I'm talking to someone I know. And he goes, yes, yes. He's like, and Ray Parler's in. He's like, yes, he's funny. He's funny. You know, Cooligans. And Ray's like, yeah, Roy, nice to meet you, right? And that was it for Ray.
But you met Ray before.
I've met Ray before, but he doesn't remember.
Right. This was at...
Unless I had, you know, a glass of Jaeger. You know, he's not going to remember
in
me.
Charlotte, we interviewed him on stage.
Yeah. Great guy. But Gilberto Silva goes, yes, yes. And he's looking around and goes, where's this skinny one? I was like, oh, Christian. Yeah.
Bro, love it.
I was like, it's me.
If he calls me the skinny one, what does he call you?
Alexis. Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare, Christian.
That's just, I'm just saying, if it was me,
Balexis Barreros, my birth name.
if it was me there instead of you, I don't want to know what he said.
He'd probably say, like, where's the hilarious, the sexy one? Where's that guy? Where's the guy who didn't fail out of humanities? Yo, why does he know so much about us, bro?
It was dope. So how was the... I didn't get to watch the game.
Atmosphere was incredible. Remember last time we were at the stadium, Camping World Stadium, which used to be, I believe it was like the Sun Bowl or something like that. It's a citrus bowl.
Right.
Some bowl. It was a bowl. Remember there was no air conditioning in the press box?
I do remember that.
Okay, now there was a little bit of air conditioning in the press box.
Improvement.
Yeah. You felt a gentle breeze. And I want to give a shout out to, I can't remember his name right now. He gave me his info. But the dude from London is Blue.
Okay.
He was there. He's a homie.
It's like three guys.
Yeah, but the dude from Kansas City was there.
Okay.
Yeah, we were having a great conversation. We got to do something with him. When one of our teams plays Chelsea, we got to get back on that show or have him on that show. Great dude. We talked a little bit. He's like, let's film something at halftime. I was like, absolutely. And then I went downstairs. I'm like, I'm not going back up there. I have air conditioning now. And I completely forgot. By the end of the match, I was trying to message him, but then I got.
Damn, Alexis, big timed out some Chelsea, some big bad. Chelsea pod.
I'm like, yo, you lost 4-0. I can't be doing content with you, bro.
So
more like Blunden is Blue, bro. Yes, I'm proud of myself for making that joke.
So, okay, but they lost 4-0. How did Chelsea look at all?
Horrific.
Really?
How did Pulisic do? What did Putin say?
What did Putin say? Huge fan, obviously.
The important stuff.
How did Pulisic do?
He got booed.
He got booed.
Yeah, on his first touch.
By whom?
Fans.
Had to be Chelsea fans.
I don't know if it was...
Arsenal fans have nothing to be upset with him about.
That's what I don't understand. I don't know if it was Arsenal fans that, you know, wanted to boo him because he's playing for Chelsea, or if it was Chelsea fans that aren't USMNT fans, because it was a very international crowd.
Right.
Most people were from America. Most people that I spoke to were like from around the country.
Okay.
There was obviously a lot of Brits there as well that decided to make a vacation out of it because you're in the most luxurious place on earth, Orlando, Florida.
Jamal said Chelsea looked like Everton.
Ouch.
I don't know. Who's that a bigger insult to? Wow. I can't tell.
Blelsey, bro. Still time for Chelsea to sell back. It's been 60 days. Sell back.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But
the ownership.
Oh, the owner.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, no, this is you, bro. Now you need to hold this Abramovich.
You didn't tell me this was a lemon.
Damn. Yo, you painted over the crash mark, bro. The skinny one and the binny one, says Crimson Pizza. Let's go. And Del Boy says Alexa's more cushion for the pushing. No pushing whatsoever, bro.
Okay.
Still tough for Joe. Okay. Whatchamacallit. One of the things that people were like, some Chelsea fan was like, oh, you guys don't want to talk about how we had more travel and less rest. It wasn't a 1-0. You know what I mean? This was a 4-0.
It was
kind of easy.
Pretty hot, though, as well.
Disgustingly hot. But still, I mean, Aaron Ramsdale made, I think, like two really big saves.
Okay.
So there were moments for Chelsea, but nothing compared. Arsenal just looks like they're on another level. Zinchenko looks like an absolutely incredible.
I saw a couple highlights. Yeah, he looked pretty good.
I didn't know this. Mikel Arteta was the one who convinced Pep to convert him into an inverted left back.
Okay. Yeah, because he was a midfielder.
Yeah, he was a midfielder. Grew up as a number 10.
And he's playing midfield for Arsenal.
No, he's playing left back in a kind of a weird system. So they're going to start 4 at the back.
Okay.
So going left to right, it's going to be Zinchenko, Gabriel Magalhaes, William Saliba, and then Ben White is going to be the right back. But
interesting.
When they attack, Zinchenko goes forward, those three shift back, and it becomes a 3-man back line in attack. So it's going to be Gabriel, Saliba, and Ben White as a sort of 3 center backs.
We got to get you one of those big, you know, digital boards.
Bro.
Yeah, bro. So you can.
I'm just going to be finding ways to draw dicks on it, bro. No matter what. And then you pass it around and then around again and around again. And then maybe you miss a couple passes. Like, is it always just squirting in a goal? That's the way you do it, fellas.
Okay. We should get right to it and talk about Minnesota United versus hosting Everton. Because yes, speaking of 4-0, I did watch this.
Let me ask you another question. Did you watch all of it?
I watched the entire thing. Every minute. I mean, it was
Torture porn, bro.
It was surreal. I mean, look,
it's like watching a sex tape of your ex and the guy she left you for.
I mean, I'd pay for that.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Let me pull that up.
No, it was it's obviously embarrassing, right? Because also Chelsea did lose to an MLS team as well. They lost to Charlotte. They lost in penalties, but it was a more competitive, experience for both clubs.
Experiences doing so much work in that sentence.
Everton,
bro.
The way I failed my humanities class and learned something from it, that's what I hope Everton got out of that loss to Minnesota United. It was brutal. I mean, this is what my. You know, Everton did just win, I think, 4-2.
Also, Adrian Heath is supposed to be the homie.
Adrian Heath, whose homies with us. We remember when we went to
we saw a homie in the airport.
Yeah, we hung out with him. I don't think I ever posted that photo. We did hang out with him.
No, I think you did.
I don't know if I did. I may have not. Anyway, but we did meet Adrian Heath at the airport. We were on the same flight when we were flying when we did the Everton documentary. Mm-hmm. We were on the same flight to Manchester, and he was a great dude. And you could tell how much he cared. He was going to the same game that we were going to.
Right.
And you could tell how much he obviously.
And even as we were doing the tour, as it got closer to the game, they were like, "Inchy's coming, Inchy." People would come by and be like, "Inchy's going to be here to like the employees."
Yes.
He's like a boy band.
Well, look, Minnesota gave Everton 4 inches because it was a rough night.
Bro, I heard they didn't even do a first whistle. They did click clack. That was bad, bro. What is Everton missing?
This is my theory. Everton is missing.
Where's the humanities?
a proper midfielder. They're missing a proper midfielder that can just maintain control of the ball. A James Rodriguez, if you will.
Who's doing nada.
I don't know why Frank Lampard is not calling this man immediately to get him back on the team, because I think this would be the right move. They just need a little bit of quality and just controlling the midfield a little bit. We saw it against Arsenal. There was just there's the I don't know if it's necessarily the players or if it's tactically. It's just simply about maintaining control of the game a little bit.
Michael Raymond said Everton is missing good players.
without a doubt. We all know that. But that game in particular, we were talking about Adrian Heath, and I think it was interesting because at the end of the game, he did like a post-game interview, a post-match interview, and you could tell that it hurt him to defeat Everton that badly, to humiliate his former team. He was definitely proud of his own players and proud of the club. Not taking anything away from that. I'm sure he's a competitor. It doesn't matter what team is in front of him. But there was a little bit of like, he wasn't, if you watch this interview, he's not like looking at the camera. He's like not making eye contact. He like doesn't want anybody to see into his soul.
Right. He caused his beloved club a lot of pain.
Yeah, and I think it was without a doubt, if it's the slap in the face that Everton needed, fine. But
hold on, I want you to elaborate on that, because the part of the question that we posed is what the F is going on, and part of that, the next level is what needs to be done. Now, at the Arsenal match, which by the way, I think it was Justin Freeberg who said, I forgot Alex was at the game until I called Freddie after the Hartford game, and I heard him say, "Yer," in the background after Freddie returned, screamed my name into the phone.
Oh, nice.
So, I was there, and your boy was drinking a little bit. But as we're all sitting there, everyone's talking about Chelsea having lost in penalties to Charlotte and Everton having lost 4-0, and everyone's saying, I don't think Tuchel's going to make it to the beginning of the season. I don't think Lampard's going to make it to the beginning of the season. Now, Tuchel probably will, because it's not the same Chelsea. It's not Abramovich saying fire him every 3 weeks.
He hasn't gotten a chance to disappoint the ownership yet.
Yeah. It's coming. But Lampard does seem like maybe there's a possibility a change gets made.
I wouldn't.
Should they swap? Lampard, you go back to Chelsea.
No club swap.
We get back to look, guys, throw your keys in a bowl. Right? The owners go to a party.
I think because of the energy and motivation that the emotional experience of Everton's end of the prior season, I think Lampard has a fair amount of time, but realistically, and a lot of people have made this complaint, it's just like I think Lampard is trying to play tactically the way he would play at Chelsea with Chelsea players, and he does not have Chelsea players. So I think he's asking a little too much with the style of play from the players that he has. And a lot of people have made that point, but it's I don't see him leaving anytime soon. I think he's going to get a real shot. I think more than anything, Everton needs a stable home for a little bit. They can't have mom dating 12 guys in 1 year. You know what I mean? The kids don't develop an emotional connection to these men that are coming in and out of the house.
What are you? Are you the soul of that guy who died in Atlanta getting your body, bro?
I'm just saying you need some stability.
Okay, so I'm going to name, these are midfielders.
Yes.
At Everton. And I need you to tell me if you think one of these guys.
This is not even the updated.
Because Decore is gone.
Yeah, there's a lot of people gone over here.
Okay, Fabian Delph is still with the team.
He is not.
No? He could have done it. with this name, I don't think we can even mention.
He's definitely not on the team, yeah.
You already know what I'm talking about. I ain't going to say that loud. Anthony Gordon is still there.
Anthony Gordon is still there, yes.
Not a number 10.
But he's, not a 10. No, he's a winger.
I want to find out, can one of these players be made into a number 10? Should I go to transfer market? Maybe they have the more.
Hold on. No, let's go through, because okay, we have to listen to our fight. Who can be a 10?
Who can we convert to a 10? I'm going to say a name here. There's two names that I have in mind.
Okay.
But let's start with Alex Iwobi.
Alex Iwobi cannot be a 10.
Why?
He is a winger.
He
right
is a winger.
Midfielder.
Good with the ball at his feet, though.
Not that great a passer to be a 10. No. Dele Alli could be the 10. He's the only one, I think, technically capable of doing it and doing it at a decent level. But he is out of all the 10s in the Premier League, he's not high up on the list.
Who's currently your number 10? Who's currently playing as your number 10?
I think it's...
Does Damari Gray kind of fall back?
Damari Gray, winger. He's on the left. It would be Doucouré. Doucouré would be the 10. Abdoulaye Doucouré is still there.
Oh, is he?
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought he left.
No.
Okay.
Fabian Delph left. Alan is more of an 8 or 6. There lies the problem, because they had a great 10 in James Rodriguez, a great passer, great left-footed player.
James Rodriguez, bro.
Because it makes no sense that
mom and dad ain't getting back together, bro. You need to move on. Go get yourself some candy. I'm gonna make your mom happy.
Bro,
yo, that one came from the reserves, bro. That happened.
But everybody knows what I mean, okay?
Crimson Pizza says move Iwobi inside. I think Iwobi could do it.
No, well, we can't do it. I mean, look,
how about Iwobi, Dele Alli, central midfield pivot?
No, that would be the worst. Because who's going to be out wide? Who would be there?
Nobody. if you ask Gilberto Silva. Hey.
Look, this is a huge, huge problem. And, you know, we were talking to the guys from Toffee TV. When we were in Baltimore, and we were talking about scouting, right, and scouting in the area, mm-hmm. And how that's changed in England, right?
See fancy people, mom.
What she doing? But
you can't make those comments in this chat, bro.
So we were talking to them about what the scouting is like in England, and like the way it is in MLS, where in the United States there's like it's regional. Like the clubs are only really allowed to scout from certain areas that they're near, certain states that they are near, and that's just you put in some regulations so that people are not like flying all over the country to try to get players or poaching players. It can make it a little bit difficult.
Sure.
But in England, it seems to be that those regulations are not really there. So I say this to say that the problem Everton probably has as well is like the fact that every 4 or 5 years you'd get a couple decent players, like just coming through the ranks in the academy, a couple players will make it through. And Everton,
didn't you sell like Lookman?
I don't know. Lookman left.
Would he not be helpful right now? Didn't you have someone else that you sold?
Everton sells a lot of players, but I would say that the fact that there aren't, like, Manchester City has like a Phil Foden who came through. I don't know originally where he's from.
I think he's a Manchester kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, Everton has to compete with Liverpool for scouting talent, and the fact that more.
Yeah, but even if all you got was Liverpool rejects, you still should have a pretty good squad.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think that's. I mean, who knows? You don't know what talent you
every
have
kid
or don't
that gets
have.
Dropped from the Liverpool Academy should be welcomed into the Everton Academy.
I don't know. It's a frustrating situation that I think you would think every couple years there'd be one or two decent players that can become stars, and Everton just doesn't have that either. I don't know if it's luck or there's something in the foundation of how the club is run, even from an academy level, that they're not developing players to become stars. I it's hard to explain, but it kind of just shows the there's more hurdles than simply the 11 that are on the pitch that
this
day.
Feels like you're making a lot of excuses, though. They are a team that has never been out of the Premier League. They are a team that was perennially top 10 for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't now say, well, look at all these things that have gone bad, because you had one really bad season. And it looked like a second one is coming. So I'm going to ask you, give me two changes you would make before the season starts. Everton. Which obviously is the owner of Everton. His last name is Everton.
Never play 3 at the back. Always play 4 at the back.
Who would be your back 4?
Right now, I'm going to say
Iwobi, Dele Alli.
At left back, Vitaly Mykolenko.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tarkowski, Mina, And then
Tarkovsky's a beast, bro.
He is. And then, but he's also coming from a team that was relegated. So it's not to say that he's going to solve every problem either.
You were half a point away from being relegated,
I'm,
bro.
But don't, I'm
don't
saying,
be, don't be throwing stones, old glass house Christian.
And then at right back, this is probably a tough one. I guess I would probably go maybe Ben Godfrey.
Okay.
Sheamus is like Ben Goffey's better defender. Sheamus Coleman better passer.
Old though.
Sheamus old man.
Wow.
Damn, bro.
Bro, I had to. I know he's injured, but I don't think he's recovering from that burn, bro.
You one of my heroes, but bro, I had to.
Skin graft after that burn. Unleash Yerry Mina. 2 Chainz is my favorite soccer theme SoundCloud rapper. 2 Chainz.
Milton. Gerdine said Townsend gone. Andrews Townsend is not gone, but he did tear his ACL last season. We did see him in Baltimore, and he should be back sometime in the middle of the season, hopefully sooner. But yeah, we could use him.
The Bay Area Gunner said Dusty Coleman.
Wow.
Bro, there's no recovery from
what
this
is
shit,
that?
Bro.
That's,
he's getting it from both angles, man.
The chat, the host.
It's over with. Yo, the skinny one is being mean, bro.
Oh, man.
These all sound like League 2 player names. Yo, they do kind of, yo. Tarkowski, bro? That's some old 2 Bundesliga right there.
So, look, it's hard to say, but at least there were a couple embarrassing moments in that game against Minnesota. I'll try to give you
4 of them
four
that
goals.
I can remember that
but,
I know.
Yeah, but the fifth embarrassing moment was also Dele Alli missing an absolute sitter right at his feet. All he had to do was just direct it into the goal, open goal.
As an Everton fan, when you see Dele Alli, like, I can't imagine how far removed he is from, like, the wunderkind that he was supposed to have been, you know?
I think we can. We can wrap our heads around it.
It's hard to really understand it because I remember as an Arsenal fan, I wasn't like scared or anything, but he did like kind of terrorize us a little bit.
He had a couple didn't he do like a almost like a James World Cup goal? There was that moment in
I've probably wiped all that from my memory.
He had a huge goal that I think added, you know, a couple more zeros to his wages or whatever.
Post fake dreads, Dele Alli has been trash, dude.
Sure. I mean,
is he just
also a little bit before that as well? He wasn't really getting any playing
time.
But
that to me is the demarker, you know?
Yeah.
The moment of demarcation.
Right. The demarker.
Demarker is just not a word. I guess one of us also failed English class.
Bay Raguna said Mourinho did a real job on his confidence. Yes, I think that once Mourinho got
this
there,
guy, bro,
that is, I think that is.
Yo, Juan Mata never recovered. Dele Alli never recovered.
Under Pochettino, there was a baller.
Yeah, he was balling,
having a lot of fun. It's
a name that was rumored down in Orlando. I kept hearing that as well. That Pochettino, who doesn't have a job right now, that Lampard would be fired and Pochettino would come in. Would you welcome that?
Only if Lampard, you know, my main issue, it's not even about Pochettino. It's not particularly about Lampard. It is the constant changing of managers. I just think this is becoming.
But at some point, you have to cut your losses.
They've cut so many losses.
Look, it got the decisions they made got them to the point where they survived.
Yes.
Big Dunk is gone. So, you know, he ain't going to be a caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At some point, you have to make, and it should be a quick decision. I don't think Everton can withstand another, you know, 3 months of should we not? Come World Cup, you're going to know where this team is.
I agree.
And if you're in 16th place, 17th place at that point,
aren't you supposed
you're screwed.
Aren't you supposed to give managers a certain, like some transfer windows? At least one. Lampard, this is his first one.
When was he brought in?
He was brought in with like 15 games to go. So, no. He
didn't get January?
Did he get January? I don't think so. Or he arrived like right after. No, because they sold. Benitez was still there because they sold Luca Dean.
But it was his choice to bring in Dele Alli, was it not?
Yes. All right. Yeah, I mean, he got the tail end of that window. Not a real proper opportunity to bring players in.
What's he done with this window?
Tarkovsky, and we're still waiting. So no, I think he'll be fine up until the at least the next transfer window. I can't imagine that. It's just, it has to stop. They have to just say like, yo, how do we write this ship, bro?
I mean, this might be one of the most influential things ever written in our chat. Justin Freeberg said, Everton whoops manager is as fast as that janitor whooped his poops.
Okay, yeah. Go back a couple episodes to really get...
Honestly, don't. I think you literally have all the context you need right there.
And Ice Cold Brew said, Rooney to coach Everton after they're both fired from their current gigs in October. DC is also going to be a tough gig.
I'm surprised that he didn't go there as an assistant manager.
Go to DC as an assistant? Or go to Everton?
Everton, yeah.
Got it. I don't know. I mean, look.
I think he wants to get out of that area, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes when you grow up in a place, you don't want to go back.
Right, right.
You want to just visit.
Rooney got too many warrants in Liverpool.
You know what I mean?
People, too many people after him.
Got warrants, bro. Everton has that spiny wheel for the spinny wheel for the transfer window. And it's still spinning, bro, because they only brought one player in. Let's talk about Tuchel. Do you think... See, now that Chelsea doesn't have that sort of like fire manager every few weeks thing, you know, it still feels like... It still feels like Tuchel shouldn't have much more of a leash. Towards the end of the season, they started to falter a little bit. Obviously, they survived it. But this guy, if you're Chelsea, you need a manager that's going to get you over. You need to be able to get above Liverpool and City. This ain't it.
I would say... Like year after year, like
so it's the Chelsea way. They win by firing.
this is, I don't know what the exact maybe people have a certain like preference of how to. If I was the owner of a team and I wanted to hire a manager, whether this is me thinking, not cutthroat enough, I would give my managers an opportunity to manage and see how far we can get.
He's had a season and a half.
To me, that does not seem like that much time. When you compare it to, look at Liverpool, City. How long have they been there?
Sure, but they were progressing in a plan. Same thing as Arsenal. Mm-hmm. They're progressing forward through a plan. Some fans, one of which is in front of us right now, doesn't have the patience with such plan. You know what I mean? Right. Some fans want the changes to happen a little bit quicker, you know? Right? And some of us, me, are genius and know that if you just wait a little bit because, you know?
So under that...
But
under,
there is no progression in this plan.
I highly disagree. They won.
By the way, the fan I'm talking about, furious right now.
They won Champions League, and according to your barometer, Mikel Arteta should not be the manager anymore.
What? Why?
Because you said it. Tuchel has had just a year and a half. He's made how many finals? He has lost some FA Cup finals, League Cup finals, but they're not degressing. You can't argue that they're going backwards. They just can't. They can't get up.
How can I not argue that?
But they can't get over the mountain, which is Manchester City and Liverpool, which are the world class, the top two managers in the world. I don't know how far.
And in fact, you're saying that, but I don't know if you want to pull this up. Klopp said himself. This is a quote from Klopp. He said, I have no idea who will make the race. It looks like City in the end will be the champion. If we hadn't been champion, I think they would have won it 5 or 6 times in a row, which is crazy in this country. I mean, this is City and Liverpool at this point are like immovable forces, you know?
Right, right, right.
Couldn't pull it up?
Yeah.
I read it already, so don't worry about
it.
Okay. But when you think about like someone like Klopp, who I think sometimes he does this to be a little bit sort of like reverse psychology was the word I was
Really?
Klopp is more of a men's rights kind of a guy, so I apologize. No, Klopp is a great dude. Klopp's an absolutely great human being, but from what we know.
I mean, look at that smile.
I know. Right? It's fake. You know he's got fake teeth, right? He does.
I mean, yeah.
He has veneers.
He has veneers. You got a BBL. It's all good.
That's right. We put it in the wrong plane. Did you see that lady in the plane whose BBL exploded?
I did see that.
This is great, dude.
She had to go in reverse outside the plane.
She got wheeled out backwards, bro. It was hilarious. She looks like she fell asleep on an ottoman.
Right.
And they were trying to move her out without waking her up. That's basically what she looked like.
Yeah, it looked like she was leaning over a sex toy.
No, I'm not letting go.
Just a reminder,
not yet at least.
To anyone, if you plan on getting a BBL,
you need to chill.
You can't. You got to rest for several days before you fly back home.
You can't get right back home. People are going to know you got it. I know you're trying to get back before you think anyone's going to notice.
Exactly. Okay.
But anyway, I forgot what we were talking about. Now, here's what I think is wrong with Chelsea. Towards the end of the season last season, they didn't play well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the beginning of this preseason, they're getting dusted by a team that they were better than last season in Arsenal.
Right. But they also play. I mean, it is preseason. I mean, how much weight are we putting into these matches?
Do you want to go through the starting lineup?
Answer my question first. How much weight are we putting into these matches and these results?
And I'm going to answer that by telling you who played in this match.
Okay.
For how long? How's that sound?
Go for it.
Okay. So the match against Arsenal, their starting lineup was Timo Werner up front. Just behind him was Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, and Raheem Sterling. Behind him was Conor Gallagher, who they were begging to get back because he's so incredible.
I remember that. Did you see the penalty against Charlotte that he took?
Conor Gallagher, bro. Jorginho, you got Reece James. Chalaba, who I don't know what. Chalaba got bit by radioactive Harry Maguire, bro. I don't know what's going on over there. You got Thiago Silva, and you got Emerson.
Right.
This is and Mendy in goal. This is who you started.
It's also
that squad is no joke.
I agree. I mean, Arsenal squad ain't no joke either.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a relatively team with some relatively new players in it. We've got a brand new center back who's 20 years old, who, again, I said will be the best center back in the league when Virgil van Dijk is gone. But incredible center back. You got Gabriel Jesus, who hasn't been on this squad. You've got Martin Odegaard passing to him. Martinelli, who was a backup last season starting. You've got a team that presumably is their best starting 11. And we dusted them, bro.
It's preseason,
that's
dog.
It. But I'm saying, bro. But even at the half, people in the VIP section, you know, with their pinkies out, like how I like to be, they were all saying, like, yo, this feels like a actual Premier League match.
Right.
These teams are going for it.
I mean, it didn't really look like Chelsea went for it.
They were not going for it, bro.
They
2-0 in the first half.
I don't put too much stock in wins or losses in these in preseason, unless there's just straight up disorganization and poor performance, which is what I would say about Everton, especially in that game against Minnesota.
Look at what Jamal said. Thank you, Jamal. Finally, he's agreeing with me. He said Mikel Arteta's Arsenal's progress is seasonal. His project was 10 years behind Chelsea, and now his Arsenal team are on the same level, if not better than Chelsea. Tuchel UCL wins is the Champions League win is what has kept him in his job. If you're looking at it from the beginning of last season to today, you would have to say Tuchel is failing, or the progress is on a downward slope and Arsenal is on an upward slope. Would you not?
But I think there's two factors.
Would you not say that? Yes or no?
Yes, I would say that.
Okay.
But I don't
cut
think
right there, Jamie.
But I don't think the slide is that pronounced.
When you're Chelsea, you're fighting for the position to be still considered in that top tier, which right now is Liverpool and City, and that's it. Top tier. The elite of the Premier League are those two. He is right now in that secondary part with, you know, some people would say United, some people would say Arsenal. I would say Arsenal as well. Chelsea, there's maybe one or two other teams that you could argue fit that bill. It's looking like Chelsea's not even going to be in that part. Chelsea's going to be competing with West Ham.
I think, look, I don't have, there's no evidence to suggest that that is going to be that. Sure, I think there is. I think Chelsea are
preseason.
Still, I think Chelsea are still above Arsenal as of right now, until we get maybe 5 to 10 games into the season. That's what we'll see, where everyone kind of ends up by, you know, by the time the World Cup is around. And I think that'll give us a better idea. But I'm not concerned about Chelsea's performance in these games, especially. These preseason games are in this ridiculous heat that a lot of these players are not 100% comfortable with.
By the way, it would have been the same heat they had in England. It was actually cooler.
All right, sure. But it's still preseason. It's still these ridiculous conditions. Some of the players are not 100% up for it all the time. So
embarrassing this preseason.
It is. It's embarrassing, yes. For Everton, losing 4-0 to Minnesota, that's embarrassing, because it shows that the organization and the heart was just not there. They seem to have kind of been defeated, right? After like probably that second goal or third goal. So it's those are concerning. So that's why I'm not concerned about Chelsea, and I'm not concerned about Arsenal, but I'm also not praising these wins. Chelsea did. They won against who they play? Club America. Mm-hmm. They won that game. So
Club America took it to them.
That very much so, as they should. So look, at the very
Guillermo
least,
Guillermo Ochoa was out here trying to fight people, bro.
The games have been, they've been entertaining. They're here for a.
The best thing Chelsea has coming up is the first match of the the Premier League season is against you.
Okay,
against Everton. That's the best thing they have.
Well, Everton beat them last time they played.
Woo! Okay. Smoke. What do you think the final result is going to be in that? Based on what you've seen so far in the preseason, what do you think the result of that match is going to be?
An Everton loss. Not having Richarlison, there's no replacement yet for these key players. I don't know if it's about, even hearing a player like Zinchenko that was rumored to have gone to Everton, but ends up going to Arsenal. And who knows what you know how like a lot of the agents leverage interest from other teams to try to go to the team that they want.
Sorry. I just read a funny comment.
Okay.
but it goes counter to what you're saying, which is Barry Aguna said, I'm pretty sure no one is trying to get blown out in front of 63,000 people.
Of course. Yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah.
That's obvious. But even if you do get blown out in front of 63,000 people, what does it really say about how you are as a team entirely with this one game?
Well, here's what I think preseason
matches. In 90-degree heat.
Here's what I think preseason matches are important for, is to test what your tactics are.
Right.
And if you're getting beaten 4-0 by a team you were better than by how many points last season? I think like 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting completely destroyed from beginning to end, and their backups are destroying your backups as well, there's no silver lining. That's not a good look.
I agree. It's not a good look, but it's also not time to hit the panic button either.
Oh, buddy, that bang. You should be hitting it like that, bro.
Panic button. There it is.
But here's what I want to talk about. Someone who should also be hitting the panic button, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm.
Nobody wants him.
It seems like Manchester United want him, but he doesn't want them.
I don't think that's the case either.
Eric Ten Hag has been.
Eric Ten Hag is saying what Eric Ten Hag has to say.
That's all we can go on. Okay. We're not inside the minds or inside a boardroom when they're making this decision. He's saying
Jamal, Michael Raymond said Everton's tactics are losing. Well, then it's all going to plan, dude. Did you hear the latest rumor? Is that he knows he can't get sold because of his wages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because Manchester United probably will want a lot of money for him because of the bad PR that goes along with selling a legend, right?
Right.
Again, the rumor is he was going to get loaned to a La Liga team. And that team is Atletico Madrid.
Oh, yes, I did hear that.
The fans have started a petition because they don't want him.
Right.
Now, how do you feel about that?
I mean, it makes sense that they don't want him, right? He's
who tortured them.
Right, right. And it came from a rival. I also saw this.
But you wouldn't do that. If Mohamed Salah wanted a loan to Everton, Everton would start a petition to pay for the wages themselves.
I think it's a look with a player like that, a once in a generational player.
Jamal said Bayern offered United $20 million to stop Ronaldo from calling them.
for a player like that, you could understand that there would be because he was supposed to go to Manchester City, right? That was the initial rumor, and Manchester United got involved. This is all hearsay, but
no. This has been pretty much confirmed.
But got involved because they didn't want him going there.
And what's his face? Sir Alex Ferguson called him and asked him to not go to City.
You're right.
Because it ruined his legacy.
Right. I would say
Alex Ferguson, mistake.
I think at this point, we've seen the Ronaldo return experiment, and it's really not made that many people happy. Has it done great for Manchester United? Maybe social media, the engagement, and the followers. 100%.
We had to sit through a billion suits when we were there.
So, look, maybe from a business perspective, this is where I think the business side and the sporting side are probably not in agreement. Where I think the business side is like, yo, my man's doing numbers. We can't just get rid of him.
Yeah, but teams don't make money on shirt sales.
No, it's not even shirt sales. I think everything, whether it's sponsorships, whether it's whatever deals, I'm sure financially it benefits Manchester United to have a player like Cristiano Ronaldo.
What Cristiano Ronaldo did was guarantee Manchester United got into at least a European competition, right? They're in the Europa League. Without Cristiano Ronaldo and his goals, they're not even making Conference League.
Right. Right. So
he was 37. He's going to be 38 years old. Sure, he's a physical specimen. At some point, this, even Volvo's break down at some point. At some point, this machine will stop working the way it's working. And I think we're going to start to see that soon. If you're going to get any value out of him, you have to leave. You have to send it now. And I think what you're seeing out of Manchester United in the preseason is a team that's way more unified, similar to like when Arsenal got rid of Aubameyang. Great player, scored all the goals. I know this is going to make troops upset, but you know everyone loved him. Blah blah blah. But what you weren't seeing as a fan was how much he was dividing that dressing room.
Yeah.
Now that he's gone, that's a unified dressing room. The team is way more fun. I heard from people who work at the club. They were saying the locker room is just a blast. People are having fun. The Brazilian guys are dancing. They're playing pranks on each other. They're filming each other. They're having a really good time. And it was something they hadn't seen in years. They were saying. I think to some degree, you have to start to cut your losses with Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think what you're seeing by no other team want him is that all the fans, especially people like Flex, do this all the time. Oh, he was the best player on the pitch. That joke goes to show you, if a 37-year-old shouldn't be the best player on the pitch.
He shouldn't. But also, just because he's the best player on the pitch doesn't mean that he makes the team better. Right? You can be the best player on a team and make your team worse.
Yeah.
It sounds counterintuitive, but I think this has really been the case. If all your goals are coming from one place, the level of skill it takes for Ronaldo to score with the teammates that he has around him, you need to have a generational superstar of a player to get through he basically is a band-aid for all of Manchester United's problems because you know
those goals cover up all the holes.
Right. And look, this was happening early in the season last year where people were concerned about Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes stopped scoring. He's just like,
well, penalties. They went to Ronaldo.
Well, either penalties. Bruno Fernandes, his first season, he was fitting in comfortably. He was getting really great goals, a lot of great assists, and
I said it felt situational. It felt like he just had this crazy momentum when he first got there.
Bruno Fernandes is an absolute baller, and I think Cristiano Ronaldo makes him worse.
I don't really rate him as much.
I 100% disagree. I think he gets fit, go to any team. Well, look, even Sam,
he doesn't rate
Bruno Fernandes. This is insane.
I don't rate him like that. I don't think what we saw at the tail end, because he came in midway through the season. I think what we saw at the tail end of that season isn't who he is. I think much. By the way, what you didn't hear is Sam said he's the best player on that team. And actually, I would probably say Sancho is a little bit better.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is going to be
one of those clips where on TikTok people are like, what is this dude saying? This guy's an idiot. Americans shouldn't talk about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You're right. You are 100% accurate. I agree with every comment that you're about to leave. 100% Christian Polanco agrees with you.
Okay. the skinny one. Someone says, At this point, my guy needs to start doing some sit-ups, double XLing working. Are you talking about me?
Oh, what?
Damn, please, Morgan. No one was even talking about me in the chat. You came in just for smoke.
Are you talking about the double XL magazine?
Damn, Sancho is shining right now. I think Sancho is a better player than Bruno Fernandes.
I think this is going to be Jadon Sancho's breakout year. I mean, we already
it needs
kinda,
to be.
We've seen it already in preseason.
Also, you need to play him on the side he's supposed to play. What the hell was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer thinking?
Look, he's having a great time, and who's not in preseason right now? All right. Cristiano Ronaldo is not there, and all of a sudden...
I've said this before. People, and I know Cristiano Ronaldo fans hate me. And by the way, if you think they're going to... No one cares about me, what I'm saying about Bruno Fernandes. All the smoke is going to come from Cristiano Ronaldo, but
right.
From us saying that they're better off without him, which they are. The problem is every player was deferring to him, and that doesn't let you really shine.
Sure. Okay, I mean, if he's doing what he's doing, you're going to keep giving the ball to him. I mean, it's hard to argue.
Yeah, I don't disagree with, but forcing the ball to him.
I mean,
there were moments which you could, someone did a compilation on, many of them have, but there's a couple compilations on YouTube of Bruno Fernandes missing or shying away from taking a shot on goal where he would have prior to pass the ball to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay, there's a lot of debate in the chat whether some people are saying Bruno Fernandes is mid, some people are saying, please, Martin said Fernandes is a beast, but they give him 90 minutes every game. The man is tired. But Justin Fieber said, Man U is already starting to show that they can move on from Ronaldo. Ten Hag.
Bruno Fernandes is a Benfica player. That's how I rate him.
He didn't come from Benfica.
No, that's what I think his level is.
Absurd.
I think he's an incredible. He'd be like a Benfica legend.
Oh my God! What a man! Yo, Sam, get in here. Replace this man.
And also the video of him yelling at the younger Manchester United players who were filming TikToks outside. He was like, "Put down the fucking phone and get in here. It's training, bro. You're half an hour early. Let the kids do what they want to do, bro." Let them have a good time.
Okay. Michael Raymond said, yeah, he's mid. Midfielder. There we go. That's all we need.
Yeah, Christian loves that one. And the crowd goes mild.
I think...
Hold on. Before we finish talking about it, I like Kirby D's question. He's like, okay, but let's be honest. Where's he going to go?
That's right. And he has options. It's not that he doesn't have options, but if he, what Champions League club would take him? Because that's the only thing I can see.
Well, he's been offered... A ton of money. What is it? $250 million a year by a Saudi club.
Okay. Well, he's not going to do that. He doesn't need money. Money's not the thing that's going to motivate him.
What I just said is a lot of it, though.
I mean, he's one of the wealthiest human beings in the world. He's one of the wealthiest people that have ever existed on planet Earth. Money is not going to be the thing that...
Think about how much more you'd have if you took $250 million.
What else does
more.
He need? What could he possibly buy?
I don't know. A bigger yacht?
He's going to be competing with Bezos and Musk to get into space. I don't think he's that interested.
Musk is busy getting into his coworkers' wives, bro. Did you hear these rumors?
I haven't. There we go. You sure? Damn. Feel free. Spread them. Spread the rumors, Alexis.
Bro. Old milk chest Elon Musk.
That man has a milk barrel on his chest.
That dude got negative melanin, bro. His nipples are clear. I don't know how that's possible, bro.
I can see your organs through. Where your nipples should be.
Your veins spell out, don't take your shirt off.
So, look, what Champions League club would take him? Because that's what this seems like all the kind of childishness and pettiness is kind of about.
JK True said, sorry, Christian, you can't replace Alexis until he has at least one transfer. Using your own rules against you.
What Champions League club would even take him? Because it seems like he's been posting, pictures of him, exercising and showing his abs.
Right.
Clearly that he's like training, straight up on his thotting game.
Yo, he's just thottying it up.
Thottiana, Ronaldo.
Right? Bust down Thottiana.
So he's doing that.
And objectifying this dude is hilarious.
But you know he's doing that. It's all, for the publicity to kind of show that he's still dedicated and so dedicated to play. If he was a dedicated player to his team, he would be at preseason right now playing. But he is at a level where he could be like, nah, I ain't playing. I ain't doing preseason. He's doing the Iverson. We talking about practice? We talking about practice? And when he should be there, when the team is, you know, struggling and you know, and not where they really need to be, if he's, how can you respect him as a leader when he is, what seems to me that he is choosing to not be at preseason? I haven't heard of an injury.
No.
I haven't heard of a family issue.
It's very obvious that he wants to get sold. That's it. So let's look at the teams that have qualified for Champions League.
Bear Guna said CR7 running in Hoochie Daddy shorts.
I am. He's in the next Bobby Shmurda video. What a horrific comeback this has been, by the way. Bobby, we believed in you, man. We shout out to Rowdy Rebel.
We still do.
English teams that have qualified for Champions League. Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, Tottenham. Mm-hmm. Any of them an option?
No.
Should any of them look at Cristiano Ronaldo?
I mean, you can't not look because he posts all the time.
I think Tottenham should make a run at Cristiano Ronaldo.
No. Who? You know, there's no way.
Because it would cause catastrophic failure, bro.
Absolute mess. Okay. At Tottenham.
Spain, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Sevilla.
I mean, look, I could possibly see a fit back at Real Madrid. I could see it.
It's Benzema's time, bro. Ben would walk.
I agree, but I think Ronaldo going to Real Madrid, I think there's an improvement of the team, or at least they stay the same or they get better. I think he could be better. I think he could make the team better.
Okay. Italian teams. Look, he's not going to Atletico Madrid. The fans don't want him. He's not going to Barcelona. They can't register anybody.
Yeah.
Real Madrid, maybe. Sevilla, they ain't got that kind of money, right?
Oh, yeah. Please, Martin said that his child passed away. Remember, I think there was a twins, and then one of them passed away.
Yeah, but that was last season, was it not?
It was. So I'm just saying that might be one of the factors of why he's not with the team this season, this preseason. I don't know.
I'm just saying the rumors are swirling around that he's reaching out to other clubs.
It does seem like, he's doing business, you know.
Okay, Inter Milan, Juventus, Milan, and Napoli. Napoli just lost. Weren't they trying to sign Dybala back, and they lost out on him? He's going to Roma.
I mean, look. I'm sure he'd. Juve is probably the only one he could not go to.
Vlahovic.
Because they were pretty clear after he left that they were not happy with how that ended. So the other teams, could he go? I mean, it would be far fetched.
Milan already has a 43-year-old in Zlatan Ibrahimovic. You know, the oldest forwards in the game.
Maybe Napoli. I mean, I think there's a, would he make the team better?
It would piss off Juventus, which maybe is why Napoli would do it.
Okay. So there's obviously a factors of like, would he make the team better? And then also, would he hurt the morale of the team? That's like obviously one of the concerns.
Right.
So I don't know what the state of all those four Italian teams is exactly, so it's hard for me to say. But would he make the teams better? Without a doubt.
Bayern, Dortmund, Frankfurt, Leipzig, and Leverkusen.
I don't think he can go to any of those simply because they can't afford him. Bayern is the only one that could.
On wages, you can't.
They couldn't afford to pay what he's worth. So, no, to all of them.
The next two countries are going to be interesting because I think this one makes the most sense, but it'll never happen. Marseille, no.
No.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Paris Saint-Germain would, I mean, the spectacle alone.
It would be. Now, what's his name? The sporting director, I can't remember his name, the Sheik, has promised that the glitter era is over. The Hollywood era of PSG is over. They want to focus on bringing in Parisians. They don't want it to be a traveling circus. But.
Yo, circuses make money, bro.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine Cristiano Ronaldo on this PSG squad? Neymar, Mbappe, Messi.
Be fun.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Who starts where, dude?
It'd be ridiculous. So could they do it?
Should they do it?
Should they obviously they, look.
Would you do it?
I would not do it.
Oh.
Nah. Okay. Not if I want to win. Okay. I mean, if you're talking just the way you were talking about Liverpool and Manchester City being the elite, elite managers and teams in Europe, you can't expect to be taken seriously and bringing in a player like Ronaldo after, you know, the way you're already running the club and the amount of money you're spending. You would think financial fair play would come into play when you have Neymar, Mbappe, Messi, and
financial fair play is what they're following, bro.
You would think somebody would be like, hey, maybe we should look at the books.
Bruh, what you mean you ain't got no books, bro? How you doing this? Venmo.
Why you got a chimney at the stadium burning stuff?
Bro, it seems like your shredder goes directly into a furnace. This doesn't seem like a smart move, bro.
Man.
What about this? Portugal. Porto and Sporting Lisbon.
Isn't... Which club did he come from?
Sporting,
right?
Sporting Clube de Porto.
That would be the only one that I think is the out of all the clubs we mentioned. That is, it feels not the most likely, but the most like it would make sense from that emotional perspective and him coming back. And this is like a pretty standard thing.
A second year of he's coming home.
Right.
Coming home.
so it's common. So you kind of you see these stories a lot. But I also don't think this is his last season. So I don't think he's retiring.
No, I think he's got two seasons left.
Okay.
But there will be a time when he realizes he ain't the top dog, and I don't think he could do like Zlatan is doing, which is like become more of like a situational player. You know what I mean?
Situation, but also Zlatan is clearly a leader, even if he's not playing, even if he's injured. Ronaldo does not seem like that. We saw from what we've seen, remember the all or nothing Juve, mm-hmm. And seeing him in the locker room and how upset he was at results.
Right. Remember when he was like, this sucks. Y'all need to be better. And he saw the camera. He's like, me too. We all need to be better.
I too. I am holding a mirror up to myself.
When I said all of you, I meant me. I meant me.
So, look, so I don't think he is as useful in that capacity. He is a beast on the pitch. That is what.
And that's it. That's all you're getting.
And that's it. Right. Yeah.
You're getting promotional opportunities and you're getting.
And then, even, you know, we always compare Ronaldo and Messi. And Messi, I would also say, is probably not the biggest of leaders as well and biggest personalities. But listen to the other Argentinian players, how they talk about Messi, how they talk about
they
him.
Love that,
every
man.
They literally say that they. Emi Martinez said this at an interview. He said, I want to make sure I play and we win for him, for Messi. So you don't hear other Portuguese players talking about Ronaldo like that. And it is what it is. So
yeah, no, you're not wrong.
They respect his game. And
he's as we say here in this country, he's a locker room cancer. I think it's obvious. I think we've seen enough footage. We've heard from enough players.
Maybe that's excessive, but I think everybody's
bad in the locker room as Bruno Fernandes.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I really do think it says a lot about character when you hear about other people's either reputation or just how your peers talk about you, and people talk about Messi the way they spoke about Maradona. You know, the respect,
I actually
the
think
adulation.
That's why, I actually think that's why the Argentinian players do that, because they see the pressure he's under with the Argentinian Federation and within the media in Argentina. And he's just constantly compared to Maradona. And I think there is a concerted effort to try to level that playing field a little bit. By the way, if you're watching, if you enjoyed any of this, if you hate one of our shirts, if you love one of our shirts, hit the like button, please.
That's right, please.
And if you're listening, don't forget to leave a five-star
review. Please, Morton said, Messi went to PSG. Give me a break.
I don't get this.
Yeah, what they do in their club careers.
Do you see what's happening at Barcelona? This dude was this dude was propping up this whole club. They failed him.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's like Messi leaves and we realize Barcelona is a Ponzi scheme, okay? It's this criticism over that, the decision to to go to, you know, he didn't stay at one club. Ronaldo didn't stay at one club either. Maradona didn't stay at one club. He didn't stay at one club. Okay, it is, you know, there's a business side.
Maradona didn't stay at one drug.
there's a business aspect and there's a you know, values and moral aspect, I guess, to, you know, just about their own character.
Right.
And I'm not basing it on look, that they're both great players, but just if you remove football from the conversation, they seem like two very different types of people and personalities.
Oh, of course. Polar ends of the spectrum.
So you have to take that into consideration when we're having this conversation of what club could he go to? Because this is a factor. We know what he's going to bring on the pitch, but what is he going to bring off the pitch? Is he going to inspire? Like, I personally think a player like Messi, even going to PSG, inspires the other players to maybe work harder. Or
also, the youth players are getting better by watching Messi. I don't think the youth players are getting better by watching Ronaldo. And I know he sets an example physically. I know he shows up to training early. I know he keeps his body at physical peaks that are, you know, way better than everyone else. You know, he sort of shamed the United players a little bit for having desserts. Mm. Remember this? When he first got back,
Alexis
to
was very much against that.
Me and my people were offended.
How dare you?
Me and everyone else in the XXL were like, no. You don't get to take our culture away from us, okay? Hey, Ronaldo, how about you try sugar once in your fucking life, huh? Do you need all six abs, you son of a bitch? Whatchamacallit? But so maybe he sets an example. But then you have that interview where he was like, oh, the young players, you know, we try to tell them what to do, but they don't listen. That's not how they're going to listen either.
Oh, I love this. Omar Ramirez coming with some heat. He says, because the Portuguese players ain't soft like Argentina players. Wow.
Say it to their face, bro.
bro, what is this?
I dare you to say that with Otamendi anywhere near you. You're going to get 3 footed. I don't even know where the other fucking to come from, bro.
Okay. We just had like lunch with Pablo Zabaleta. There is nothing soft about that man, okay?
Yeah, no.
And we touched every part of his body.
I inspected everything for softness, bro. Everything feels like a bald skull.
Oh my God. Theo Nero says Maradona is like a party animal. Messi's like a priest. Hey, but you know what? They're both highly respected individuals.
Well, like a Jesuit priest, because they party too, bro. Alexis was like, how dare you tell the homies they can't have any croissants? Could you imagine? Bro, I'm going to slap the chia seeds out your damn mouth.
This is no country I want to live in. Telling people.
This is why we have a constitution.
Someone add a croissant amendment to make sure. Can we codify croissants?
You know, where is the Supreme Court on this important subject?
Okay, you bet, Brett Kavanaugh. You better be on the right side of history.
Pursue the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And my happiness, and my life, and my liberty all involve buttery laminated dough that has been baked in the shape of a crescent moon.
Boom. Okay. Anything else before we wrap up?
JG says Jesuits get lit. This show has gone left and right sharply the entire time.
Please, Martin said, Portuguese dealing with those mad Moroccan broads. Protect your neck. I don't even know. Is that a thing? Do they deal with Moroccans?
Y'all are pulling from very specific life experiences and then throwing in this chat as if we won't live this.
We gotta learn, bro. and Ice Cobra said, the right to bake arms. bake arms.
Went way over my head, bro. Way over my head. That shit bumped into an airplane. That's how far above my head that went. I looked at Christian like, did I have a stroke? Stop me from swallowing my tongue, Christian. What was that?
David Meyer said.
By the way, and I want to say this for a nice Cobra who's always funny in this chat, but he put the right to bake arms, LMAO. You laughed at your own joke, though.
I support it. You got to highlight. You got to really specify that. It's a joke. David Meyer said, my right to the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Hell yeah, dog.
Okay. There's certain things.
The crustitution.
Del Boy, thank you. We got to pin that comment. The crustitution. Boom.
It's so perfectly stupid. This is what I've always wanted. You think when those like stuffy British dudes talk about like soccer podcasts, they think about this?
Yeah, they're missing out. This is a very unique experience.
Hey, okay. Racists on TalkSport, this is what this is what football conversation should be like. The crust of touch.
Oh my God, love this chat. Thank you so much. You get one of these, bro.
Bro. The most flexible document ever written in history.
All right. I forgot to mention this earlier. Speaking of this chat, I wanted to give a shout out to Camilo Garcia, who's sometimes in the chat, might be here now. I saw him earlier. But I played in my Sunday league game yesterday, and Camilo was plays on another team. He was like, "Hey, what's up? I'm a big fan of the show." And
what a long way to go for that. Okay.
I'm just saying, you saw him. I was just playing and I saw him. So I hope you had a good game, bro. But thank you. It's always nice to meet people from the chat in person.
I love that. Yeah. I love when you meet someone that you just know from their
We're all homies. Okay. Kirby D said, "We've reached the point in the show where we are lost but can't breathe because we are laughing too hard." Yes. This is
Cena Ratcliffe said, "Used to bartend a yearly Jesuit party. Those dudes get absolutely wavy on the communion."
Yo, that's it. The Jesuits are getting exposed.
Bro, I used to have to carry them dudes back to their rooms.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Bro, Jesuits on that drink.
Bro, I did a stand-up show at a Jesuit university.
You must have crushed because they were drunk.
No, dude.
St. Peter's?
No. Oh. In Manhattan. What's
St. Francis?
No, not St. Francis. What's it? Starts with Baruch?
Baruch is
not
Jesuit.
Baruch. What was it? This is school. I think it started with B. I forgot. It was years ago. It was probably my first or second year of stand-up.
I went to St. Peter's University. That's Jesuit. That's how I know.
Went and I did a show. And like this girl that went to the school was at the show. It was at a show in like the Bronx, like an art gallery. And then she was like, "Hey, you were really funny. Can you perform for my school? We have a student union. We love, you know." So I asked a couple friends, Dave Greek, Brian John, Luke Younger.
All the people you invited to your wedding.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I had asked, these are people I started comedy with. So we go do the show in this school. It's like at a basically like a small cafeteria or whatever, a little room. And we are all bombing, just eating it every one after. We're just like, what in the? They're laughing at nothing. They just like are not into this at all. But this is the same girl that was laughing at. I did all the same jokes that I did at the other show.
And she crushed at the other one.
And she's not laughing at all. And then we realized that because it's a Jesuit institution, none of the students want to laugh in front of each other. They don't want to laugh at, like, if we're making a joke about dating or something, then the boys don't want to laugh because there's girls there, or vice versa. Or
what?
This is
very different from my Jesuit education.
This was so I think there was like somebody that ran like the person who booked us, who works for the school, was also at the show, and maybe they didn't want to laugh in front of her. It was just brutal. Like, literally an hour of just all of us bombing.
That's shocking, bro. Our school was rowdy as hell.
Nah, dude. So after the show,
I almost got expelled during orientation for throwing too big of a party. That's where I met wifey, though.
After the show, the like coordinator came up to me, and she gave me a check, and she goes, "So we're not going to be booking you again." This is my second year in comedy. I'm like, should I quit? But we got paid, and then we just checked clear, and we just bounced.
That's on you, Jesuits. By the way, Camilo Garcia says thank you. We won, by the way.
Congrats! We drew 1-1-1. It was 90. It was like 96 degrees on the pitch. It's an absolute nightmare.
Bye, a nice cold brew. Bye, everyone. Thank you for everyone.
But Camilo
has to leave.
Congrats, bro. Congrats. Okay.
Oh, my God. That was... What a show.
Yes. I mean, obviously, the title of the show is The Crustitution. So thank you, Doughboy. We appreciate it.
Killed it, bro.
All right. This has been awesome. If we had nearly like 50 people here. Hit the like button if you haven't yet. So please do that so more people on YouTube see this. Hit the subscribe button if you have not. We're steadily gaining and growing on YouTube.
We're getting there. We're making movement.
Wait, some videos, you know, will do okay, and some will get us a lot of hate comments about bodegas.
Bring it on. A lot of incels have found our anti-bodega bro video.
Yeah, very much so. But pretty funny overall. If you haven't yet, a couple things coming up. Join the Patreon. If you haven't, we have a couple things coming up. We should do a no cap recap this week. We're also going to MLS All-Star real soon.
We'll see you in Minnesota.
Stay tuned for that, because we might have some news for something going on there. And join the Patreon, because we're going to be dropping this week the interview with Tom Davies of Everton Football Club. And people on Patreon will have first access to it. Patreon.com/soccercooligans. Join today.
And we've gotten a couple of new this in a minute.
Yeah, we have to give some shout outs to people who have joined recently. Got to show the love.
Come on. Shouts to Jake. That's all you put.
Jake. Love you.
A little sus, but thank you.
Love
so much
you,
for joining.
Bro. But I do see the icon, the avatar is a
club. It's the Save the Crew.
It's a Columbus Crew.
Yeah.
So Jake from
Shouts
Columbus.
Shouts to Andrew Barber. Shouts to Jason S. Glunt.
Okay.
What a name, bro.
Let's go.
Glunt.
Glunty.
Gab Lajas, who I thought was already in there.
No. Gully Squad originally. But then made the move over to Patreon. Move. So thank you, Gabe Blas, the Cuban from the South.
That's right.
Let's go.
Brooke Materia, thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who's joined.
Thank you so much for the support. Seriously, we appreciate it. And we got a lot of dope content coming to you soon. Okay. Gotta support. Please, Martin said, gotta support my Black Opino and Puerto Rican bros. Don't even know what that means.
We're neither one of those.
But Black Opino sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Shouts to both of them.
I've been called not Black Opino, but Filipino. I've been called Filipino, Hawaiian.
Someone commented on my picture of me and Gilberto Silva that said he kind of looks like Christian anyway.
Yeah.
So add that to the list of players you kind of look like.
I'll take it.
You've got everywhere from Tiger Woods to Gilberto Silva, bro.
Oh, the list keeps growing. It's, it's Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter, A-Rod, Gilberto, Nani,
I think you get the most.
Yeah, I get that, the one the most. But yeah, if you see anybody that looks at me, send them my way.
please. We don't get offended. All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new Shouts to US. And as always, we didn't even hear from Poppy today.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
It is the Cooligans, buddy. So thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Love you guys.